Take the money you would have invested into property and instead buy or start a business, which will give you a much better return on your money. Build a skill in building business, make loads of money, and live wherever you want, wherever you choose to rent. To build a successful business is not that difficult. You can do it just the way you are, actually. You don't need to change you. Actually, you're fine. Welcome to the Self-Made Millionaire Podcast, the home for the ambitious, outcome-driven individual who wants to leave their past behind and create their next million. If that's you, you have found your place. Hey, self-made millionaires, Chris here. Do not listen to this episode if you're thinking of buying a house. But do read it if you want to avoid one of the biggest mistakes I think most people make when they're trying to achieve financial freedom. Today's episode is about one message. If you want freedom, don't buy a house. And I can hear you loud and clear, like, what? You know, Chris, you lost your mind. Like, everyone knows real estate, you know, is a good thing to do, right? Right? Like, everyone knows that. And yeah, I get it. I mean, after buying about $8 million in property and then watching the interest rates go up and up and up and up over the last 5 or so years, having to pay more and more and more each month with, you know, the air conditioning system breaking, a garage door needing replacing, you know, like, we bought this amazing house and then, you know, There's always things to repair. There's always maintenance. You know, the solar panels need cleaning. This needs that security system. And then our other houses, you know, sometimes renters don't pay. They want to move out. They need the things that have broken. They need fixed. Then we had land tax increase and rates increase. I think after all that, as far as an investment goes, buying a house has been, you know, a terrible investment. We're very lucky that we bought at a good time. We've had great capital gains. In fact, if it wasn't for that, it would have been horrendous. And we're very lucky that capital gains of our actual house investments have doubled. If you'd asked me, you know, 15 years ago what my financial freedom plan was, I would have basically told you, you know, I was like playing Monopoly, right? You buy some land, you put on a greenhouse, and then you get a red hotel. Well, it's whatever way around it is. You guys can even remember Monopoly, right? And so if you told me that was the right idea, but honestly, I was wrong. If I hadn't have had such great capital appreciation, it would have been terrible investment. But even with that capital appreciation, it's very difficult to get that money out. So stick with me. I really want you to explain this. I'm not saying that real estate is the worst investment, but I'm just saying there's much better options, okay? Really, especially if you want financial freedom. Okay, so let me put this really, really clear. I'm talking about if you want financial freedom, right? Right? The elusive goal of retire rich and retire young. And whatever that means, I think what it means is to make more money than you need as fast as possible off passive income, right? Like, I'm pretty sure that's what young rich means, like more than you need to spend as quick as you can, right? And to be able to do it without having to use your time. Financial freedom is really that. It's the ability to not have to work for money, right? It's why you listen to this podcast. You want to be a self-made millionaire, right? Is where your life is completely paid for by your investments. And I'm pretty sure that would sound right to all of us listening. So why is it most people don't have that? They have something different. And that's because of the way they're thinking. Most people think that the way to do this, and you see this through their actions, is to get a really high paying job or a business that looks like a job, right? Self-employed. Save and save and save, pay off a house, put some money into stocks or super or a Roth account or something like that to get a government bond and wait until the end of our life to stop working and live off the nest egg, right? And people don't say that's what they want to do necessarily. Some do, but that's what you see through their actions. And I don't know about you, but waiting that long seems like a big waste of time, literally a waste of time. But so many people still have it as a goal, right? And buying a house is such a big part of what everyone thinks their plan should be. Work hard, save a deposit, and then pay it off. It's what most of us are trying to do. But let's look at the reality, right? 2024, the reality, okay? So in Australia, and I'm sure in other parts of the world, it takes years to save to buy up a house. In fact, in Australia, it takes on average 12 years to get a house deposit. 12 years, right? That's how long it takes to save. When you look at the average income, taking off the average expenses, what's left over, and full-on saving. And once you do it, you know, you save that deposit and you buy the house, there are many downsides. By the way, you still got to pay off a mortgage. And so even though you've saved all that money, you've put that deposit down, it's not that different to rent. Now, really think about this. There are huge downsides. Here's the first one. You become a slave into whatever the government wants to do with interest rates. This was such an eye-opener to me. There is somebody sitting there in the Federal Bank that can literally turn up interest rates and make your life worse. Seriously, it's crazy. As soon as you get a mortgage, someone's sitting there doing that to you. With the stroke of a pen, they increase the interest rates and make your life significantly worse, okay? And so in the last few years, everyone with a mortgage has been powerless to the powers that be who have increased the interest rate like some crazy psychopath that's just trying to inflict pain on us. Check this out. In Australia, is now on average $1,200 per month more to buy the to pay off the same house than it was in 2019. $1,200 per month more than before the pandemic to pay for the same house with the same mortgage. That's ridiculous that someone just made that up. Someone just changed that. It blows my mind that that's what's possible. If you look at this, you'll see that home loan repayments have soared. You can see the average trend, and then you can see how the repayments have skyrocketed. If that doesn't show you why being in the property market is crazy, I don't know what will. Now, I do know because I'm going to talk to you about it, right? You don't actually get anything more for the house. You don't get a choice. You just have no control. You just end up paying more, right? You've still got the house. So let's just say, you know, you know this and you go, yeah, but I still want a house. So if you buy a house, you basically have two options, right? One, you can buy a house to live in and you have some downsides, right? Number one, you have to stay in one place. Number two, you really do have to stay in one place unless you're going to sell the house, right? You have rates, repairs, insurances, and other expenses. You have to save and save for an average of 12 years to get a deposit. Then you become a slave to the government's interest rates. It's not liquid. This was something that blew my mind. Even though, you know, my houses have appreciated by millions of dollars, it's not liquid. The only way I can get that money is if I either refinance, which means people more money, refinance, or I sell it. If I sell it, I have to pay taxes, okay? Capital gains tax. So it's not liquid. So even though it's gone up in value, I'm still paying a lot more than I was paying, right? And so my actual life hasn't changed very much. So if you live in it, those are all the things. Now compare that, you could just rent, right? For the exact same place. And you could, you know, spend pretty much the same amount of money. You could move whenever you want. And anything that goes wrong with the house, it's someone else's problem. Renting seems so much better. Anyway, so let's go back to if you've bought the house. The others is if you buy a house to rent out, you get a really low return on your money compared to others, right? Which I'll explain in more detail in a minute. You have very minimal rights as an owner. There's so many shocking stories of tenants coming in, not paying and having an inability to evict them. If you don't believe me, Google it. Is that tenants, you know, you can't just kick people out and put them on the street if they're in, you know, financial hardship, these sort of things. You still have rates, repairs, insurances, and other expenses, and you have someone in the house that might be causing damage to it. You still have to save for the huge deposit for 12 years, and you're still a slave to whatever the government does with interest rates. And in many states in Australia, you cannot just raise the rent, right? You can't. You're not allowed. I believe there's like a 5% increase restriction. So even if the government goes and turns up the interest rates, they go and raise your council tax. You can't just raise the amount that your customer, the tenant, is paying to cover all those costs. So you just got to eat it. You just got to earn less money. And again, it's not liquid. So even though you have this house, you have someone else is paying you off, you can't turn that into cash very quick. So those are some options. So let's really think about this, okay, and ask ourselves, what should we be doing with our money? And to me, it's simple and obvious, and that is you should start a business or buy a business. I'm going to give you some options. Business, by definition, is a profitable enterprise that works without you, so works without the owner. So if you really want freedom, having a business, if you want to be a self-made millionaire, you got to have a business. So here's a quick example of how it can work, okay? So if you put a $100,000 deposit, okay, into a $600,000 house, okay, or into $500,000 house, let's keep it nice and simple, okay? Let's keep it nice and easy and nice and simple. So if it buys you a $500,000 house, you put in a 20% deposit. Now, on average, a house is going to appreciate by 6%, and you can see some data on that right here. So a 6% appreciate, okay? Now, if you apply a current interest rate, which I found right here, of about 6.5%, I couldn't find anything under the house price. So 6.5% seems to be about right. Check that out right here. This is Australian interest rate. And then if we apply the average rental yield, meaning how much we actually receive after, you know, costs of a house, which is actually 5%. What that means is that we're going to receive 5% yield, but be paying out 6.5%, okay? Hoping that things appreciate, which means we have to chip in 1.5% just to cover the repayments of the interest. This would bring your expected return right down to just 4.5%. Now, if you do the math on this, right, you know, it's 4.5% or 27,000. Now, you only put in 100,000, okay? So that gives you a 27% return on your 100K, which is pretty good, right? You get 27% on your original 100,000. Pretty cool. Awesome. The problem with this, first, is you can't actually get that money. So that money, even though it's a return, you can't use it. Second, as I've said, to get that money out, you have to sell a house, capital gains tax, right? Now, there isn't much you can do to change this unfortunate return, right? Is you can't really make that much more money from the same house. Well, you could, but you might have to do some crazy renovations and spend more money, or you can try Airbnb or holiday rental or things like that. Now, by the way, we looked at Airbnb and rentals for houses. You have to chuck a ton of furniture in there. The cost of Airbnbs are actually skyrocketing, so you have to put your furniture in there. You know, it's not that much more side by side for just renting it out, right? So it's not a great deal. When you really think about the numbers right now, it's not a great deal. On the other hand, okay, and this, people just do not talk about this. If you take that same 100,000, okay, let's say that you've right now, you've invested, or maybe you've bought a house and you could actually pull some money out. If you put that 100,000 into buying a business, your return is so different. Whoops, my microphone fell over from my excitement. It is so different. So put the same $100,000 into buying a business, okay? Now, I was looking at a business recently, $500,000, super cheap business, $500,000 business, okay? Now, again, you put the same 20% deposit down on a $500,000 business. So let's consider a 10% interest rate on the business loan, right? So you got $400K loan, 10%, maybe more, maybe less, right? So the way that you value a business typically is based on a multiple of profit, okay? So if a business makes 100 grand profit, there's a multiple on that profit of what it's worth. There's assets and other things to put into it, okay? Usually for a business, you know, at $500,000 to $1 million, a multiple of 3 or 5 is applied to the profits, okay? So let's say that if the business is 500,000, you know, we're either going to divide it by 3 or divide it by 4 or 5, somewhere around that to find what its actual profit would be at the end of the year. So anyway, let's just split them off. If it's 3 to 5, let's just say we'll divide it by 4. That would mean that the profit or EBITDA, you know, earnings before interest tax, and is 125,000. Okay. So let's say it's 125,000 is what the profit of this business is, which is pretty a reasonable assumption. If you take the 10% interest on the loan, okay, which was a $400,000 loan, and so 10% interest on the loan would mean, you know, of a $400,000 loan would be $40,000. You take $40,000 off the $125,000, you'd be left with an $85,000 profit. So you put in $100,000, you paid off the loan, and you got $85,000 back. Now, first off, that's a heck of a lot more than $27,000 that we had in our last example, okay? Now, the difference is that's actual cash, right? It's actual cash. Now, there's many tax advantages of owning a business. So you could spend that some of that cash. You can buy assets and things that that you can use pre-tax. But also, the tax rate that you'd be paying on that is far less than capital gains of anything you'd have to do with your property. Remember, you only ever get that money out if you sell a property and have to go through all of the expenses of selling the property, right? So you get cash. You actually get cash. I don't keep saying that, but you actually get to use it. The biggest downside of a property is you don't get to use any cash. There's nothing you actually can do in your life, right? Now, 85,000, many people listening to this would mean that they could go full-time, right? They could buy one business, and at 85,000, that's enough to cover their bills, right? Now, we haven't even got into some things, is that you've still got the business. You can go sell it to someone else for 500,000 and get all your money back. You made 85,000 along the way each year. And this is before you did anything to change it. It's likely there is and infinite ways that you could increase the value of that business and make it worth, you know, $750,000. And by making it worth $750,000, the only way to do that would be to increase your profits. And so you can increase your marketing, your sales, you expand, you can add another business. But just that alone, you can already see with just the basics, you're already getting more cash and you have a business. Remember, you can still sell the business just like you can sell a house. So that's equal. Now, you still have the business, you can sell it for $500,000, you've made money, and there are so many ways that you could do it. And so that is fantastic. Now, let's say instead of investing and buying a business, you take that same $100,000 and you start a business, okay? Same $100,000. Now, if you put $100,000 into starting a business, I always believe the best businesses to start are ones that have, you know, low expenses, that are highly valued. And honestly, you should have a skill that actually helps businesses make or save money. So if you had $100,000, that could be $10,000 for you to learn a skill, let's say digital marketing or AI or copywriting or book publishing or many of the things that I know you could start a business and become a sales consultant. You have $10,000 to buy a course, learn a training, get that. Then you'd have $90,000 left over. That is 3 months of a $30,000 staff wage. At a $30,000 staff wage, you could get all the help you needed. You could have, $6,000 spent on a part-time Facebook ads marketer, which is crazy, right? You could have, another $6,000 on an operator, another $6,000 on a website designer. Anyway, I'm just making it up, a graphic designer, executive assistant, a salesperson, right? You could have six part-time three full-time, really talented people. For 3 whole months to get a whole business started, they could be smarter than you. And so you see that, you think about it, like if you had $100,000 to start a business, it's such a big difference. And this way, you'd build a business that you'd be able to sell. See, with this, you would easily be able to, in 3 months, cover your staff wages, get a business going, and get out there and go. And so why don't you get this? Is because many people say, but Chris, I don't know if I'm an entrepreneur. I don't know if I'm a business owner. Clearly, it makes sense, right? Like if you just put the two next to each other, right, you have a home investment here and you have business investment here. Clearly, on a numbers perspective, it is so obvious which one is better, right? It is obvious. It's beyond obvious if there was such a thing. It is so much more obvious that having a business is going to give you the cash and give you the freedom far beyond a property would. And I do recommend that once you have a business making you the cash, that you then put it into property when you don't need to use the cash. Property, in my opinion, is the second investment. The first investment is your business. Now, people say, I'm not an entrepreneur. I'm not a business owner. I want you to get this. There's rubbish. Is absolutely rubbish. The idea that not everyone can be an entrepreneur is just ridiculous, right? There are more than enough examples of every type of entrepreneur, every type of person being a successful business owner, introvert, extrovert, high functioning, low functioning, on the spectrum, not on the spectrum, ADHD, that whatever, right? It's just get over that idea. There's no such thing. Second, people say, but businesses fail. Yeah, businesses fail, but entrepreneurs don't. See, there's these numbers out there. 95% of businesses fail. Look, most of the time, the business wasn't the right one. You know, the person started the business, they made a bit of money, and they thought, you know what, I'm going to go on to another one. I reckon if you change that stat to how many of those business owners went and started something else, fantastic. Now, here's what's also great. You can start a business so much cheaper these days. You don't have to go open a restaurant and, pay 2 years of a lease. You can start a business online as a consultant, but very, very cheap. And so, look, if you're smart, and you've listened to this whole video, it just makes way too much sense to start a business over a house. So here's what you should do. Don't buy a house, buy a business. Don't buy a house, start a business. Rent whatever house you want to live in. Have the landlord do all of the repairs, expenses, and move out into something new when you want to. Take the money you would have invested into property and instead buy or start a business, which will give you a much better return on your money. Build a skill in building business. Make loads of money and live wherever you want, wherever you choose to rent. Hope you enjoyed this and hope it wasn't too shocking to anyone out there wanting to get into property investment. I just think, in hindsight, a business is going to give you the financial freedom so much faster than trying to do it through property and through a job. And so back yourself and go for it. I'll see you on the next episode. Bye for now. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'm so grateful that you have. If you'd like to learn more about becoming a super conscious entrepreneur and becoming a self-made millionaire, then head over to my website where you can get a free newsletter. You can download my book, You're Not Broken or The Superconscious Path, consciouseducationcompany.com.